Three of the five seats on Visalia City Council will be decided by voters on Election Day, November 8, 2005. In September, each of the eight certified candidates were given the opportunity to be interviewed by freelance reporter and interviewer Chris Haberman of Visalia. Each bona fide news interview is about 30 minutes in length and will be broadcast exclusively on KVLP throughout this election season. You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Victor Perez.
So maybe I could start by just asking you, you're a very successful attorney here in town, and you have been for a long time. Why did you choose to run for City Council?
Well, I've been involved with different community activities virtually since the time that I first came to Visalia 24 years ago. When I first got here, I was involved with educational programs with youth. Then I decided to divert my attention to practicing law. During the entire time that I've been here, I've been involved in one respect or another in different aspects of the community. I've coached 10 or 11 different soccer teams, t-ball teams, basketball teams. I've been involved in the site council at the Crowley School. I've sat on the Citizens Advisory Committee. I was on the downtown, Visalians Board of Directors for about 6 years. In fact, I was president of downtown Visalians at one point.
You have an office right there on Center Street now?
I've always been in the downtown area. My entire time that I've been in Visalia, I've done business in the downtown area. And when I finally did buy an office, and that's the one you're referring to now.
Sure.
About 5 years ago, I decided that I wanted to maintain a downtown presence, and that's why I bought in the downtown area and refurbished my office, trying to keep the original feeling of the building.
You've done a beautiful job on it.
It's a home on the historical register, and I didn't want to change the character of the building, and so we put quite a bit of effort into maintaining the character of the building.
Well, more recently, you've also been involved in the Planning Commission, right?
I've been on the Planning Commission for approximately the last 6 years. I was twice the chairman of the Planning Commission.
What brought you over to that decision, to get involved in planning? It's quite a leap from being a lawyer with a private practice, jumping over to planning.
Well, I think when you're involved in such things as the downtown Visalians, you have input into how the city views a certain aspect of the community, and you certainly want them to follow the type of guidelines and models that you're trying to use in that particular area of town. So it became a natural that I just move on to another arena within the city complex that would allow me to have some input on how the city was laid out. During my time on the Planning Commission, I've sat on the committee that formulated the plan that's been adopted by the City Council for the Scenic Corridor. I also sat on the committee that formulated the plan for the industrial zone. I also am currently sitting on two committees, one of which is planning the development of the East Main Extension area, and another committee which is trying to put together the plan for the Civic Center that's yet to be developed. So I've been, I would say, active in a lot of different respects on the Planning Commission, not just sitting and or sitting as a chair.
So taking a real leadership role, would you say, in the Planning Commission?
I would say so. I think that it's important to try to participate as much as possible in as many different aspects as possible. And certainly I feel that I have experiences and knowledge that would allow us to move forward as a community and that's why I participate in that fashion.
Well, let me ask you, is there anything about your experiences on the Planning Commission that made you want to leave that role and jump over into another aspect of city government, like being city councilman?
Actually, there was one specific project that really spurred me to consider going on to the city council, and that was the Packwood Creek development.
What was it about that?
As chairman of the Planning Commission, you have the ability to have the developer bring to you certain information that's beyond what would normally be provided by the developer. For instance, in this particular instance, the developer came to me, sat down with me, not just with me, but with all the members of the Planning Commission, and asked them what they felt that we wanted to have by way of information for the Planning Commission to be able to make an educated decision on the Packwood development. In my case, what I asked them, and because I was chairman at the time, it gives you a lot of latitude on what to ask of a developer. I asked the developer to provide us with an expert on circulation around the Caldwell and Mooney area, which I thought was going to be pivotal to the success of that particular project. I also asked them to provide us with an expert on the economic impact to the other commercial developments in and around the Mooney area, which I thought was also very important, because if Packwood was going to, in effect, pull away all the business from Mooney, then it didn't make any sense to develop Packwood. It had to work hand in hand, one with the other. I also asked them to bring us an expert on what impact that particular development would have on the downtown area, and whether or not it would have a negative economic impact. And so I asked them to provide quite a varied number of experts on the impact of that particular development on various aspects of the community. And I think that after it was all said and done, the developer did an excellent job of showing that, in fact, Packwood Creek would be an amenity to the community, would not just add tax dollars, but add a variety of different, again, amenities that Visalia had not, to that point, been able to attract. And in fact, as you now see, Mooney Boulevard has begun to backfill some of the projects, or some of the businesses that moved into Packwood off of Mooney have begun to backfill. And so, in effect, what their experts said has been coming to fruition. The other developments are still prospering, the other commercial developments, that is. The opening of the adjoining streets to Caldwell and to the Packwood development have greatly alleviated the problem with the congestion of Caldwell, and downtown is as vital as it ever has been. So it's become a win-win situation for everybody.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were to become a city councilman, would you continue to feel your emphasis or focus would be based on the planning issues, or do you have other aspects that you really would like to focus on should you become city councilman?
Well, I think that as a city councilman, your job is always to plan and to shepherd. I really see as some of the most important things that we need to do is continue to address public safety. You know, there's a significant income that has come in recently because of Measure T, but we want to make sure that...
Now, for our listeners, what's Measure T?
Measure T was a bond issue some time back. Actually, not a bond issue, it was a tax, quarter percent sales tax that the city of Visalia had an opportunity to adopt so that we could dedicate those monies to public safety. And by public safety, we're not just talking about police, we're also talking about fire. So it was very important to be able to pay for the additional sites the additional officers, both firemen and police officers. And there's a little over $3 million that are now coming in annually as a result of the passage of that sales tax. And those monies really need to be they need to be marshaled properly. I'm not saying that they're not at this point, but we need to continue to make sure that the monies go where they need to go.
Do you have any thoughts on that particular subject as to, you know, where you would like to see those monies be spent? I mean, would it be in fire or police or certain areas? Or
I don't disagree with the perspective breakdown that was used as a template for the sales tax. There was a model that was issued to the community saying we were going to spend so much dollars on police and so much on fire. But I really think that we need to make sure that those new stations and the new areas of town are dispersed throughout the town so that we don't have an area of town that has less fire, less response time, less police attention. We need to be able to take those resources and spread them out evenly throughout the community. And so it's important to marshal those funds.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Victor Perez.
Do you feel there is a disproportionate expenditure of funds now, or police coverage or fire coverage now that ought to be addressed?
I don't think that there is an intent to do that, but
sure.
By virtue of the pace of development, I think that it's happened. I think that it's being addressed, but I would also like to see some of the public safety monies be addressed to an even larger issue that is looming over Visalia, and that's gang involvement. I think that we really need to dedicate some funds to graffiti eradication. We need to get the city attorney on the parents of the people that most of these are kids involved in graffiti.
Sure.
And because they are kids and minors, I think that the city attorney really should devote some time and effort into making sure that we not only get judgments against the minors and, as a result, their parents, but that we enforce these judgments and start getting back the monies that we're expending on graffiti eradication.
Well, you know, you've mentioned, the planning issues. You've mentioned, police. What else do you see are perhaps some of the key issues that you feel are facing the city of Visalia in the coming years?
Well, there are two significant issues. Perhaps the most significant is, of course, growth. We have a 2020 plan, and what many people don't understand in this town is that some time ago there was a plan put together to be able to take care of and planning growth for all the way up to the year 2020. And in effect, even though the public may think that we've had runaway growth, the growth is actually less than the 2020 plan had anticipated to this point in time. What has happened, unfortunately, is that we had some slow growth in years past and a significant spike in growth recently, and that's had a real negative impact on such things as our circulation.
Meaning how people drive around?
Exactly.
Okay.
Prime example is the area of McAuliffe over near Lover's Lane in that area. It's a bottleneck, and the only way to alleviate that is to prioritize the pushing through of certain roads, for instance, Tulare, that will allow people to have access to their homes and to their businesses around a different area.
Mm-hmm.
Circulation has been a problem with growth. Because the infrastructure has had trouble keeping up with the developments. That's not to say that the infrastructure and, of course, the circulation element will not one day balance out. I believe that it will. What I think is going to happen is sometime in the near future is that the economy is going to balance out. The availability of loans is going to balance out.
Meaning it's going to cool off?
It is.
A little?
It is.
And the loans will
it's
rates
supply
will go
and demand.
Up?
It's supply and demand.
Sure.
And at some point, the the demand is simply not going to be to the level that we're at right now. Nevertheless, at some point, we're going to have a problem with being able to have housing for our kids, because they're really not going to be able to afford the accelerated values that have hit Visalia.
So would you be in favor of developing some lower income housing in the area, or more starter homes? Or?
Well, I've always been in favor of balancing out a community with projects like Visalian's interested in affordable housing. In fact, in years past, I was for a short time on their board. But there are other ways to handle the prospective problem. Residential development in this town, R16 calls for a certain size of lot and a certain size of home and certain setbacks on that home, side yards, front yards, back yards. I think what we really need to start doing in Visalia, and I think that the state has emphasized this in years past, is we need to have denser developments. That way we use up less of the land within the concentric growth rings, the urban development rings that we have. And that way we're able to put out a smaller product that would be more affordable to people. And so we're in effect killing two birds with one stone. We're allowing the town to continue to grow, which of course will allow it to continue to prosper. And on the other hand, we're having a denser community which serves a lot of different needs as well. Denser housing allows us to slow down traffic. Denser housing allows us to take up less farmland. And denser housing allows us to have greater affordability. So that type of development is something that I think that we should very seriously consider, setting up a new, not to eliminate residential housing as it now stands, but to add a new component, a new category.
Would be more like some of the existing PUDs are, where you have more designed communities, so to speak, that are they're closer in proximity?
No, the PUDs are, it's all privately owned, and so that's why they're able to trade away some of the things like sidewalk parking and narrower streets and whatnot.
Yeah.
But what I'm suggesting is that we have homes of the approximate size of some of the homes that we have now in developments, but on smaller lots, and adjusting the side yard, rear yard, front yard setbacks, so that we have, in effect, a project that is less to purchase and less to complete, and therefore would be a lesser value to the purchaser.
Well, let me ask you this. In the news recently, there's been a lot of talk about the county plan for long-term growth, and as I understand it, there's been kind of a dispute going on as to whether growth for the county overall should be shoved into the cities that currently exist, like Visalia, Tulare, Porterville, Dinuba, as major cities, or whether there ought to be encouraged development in the foothills and some of the more rural cities that exist. And as I understand it, there's it looks at least like the county is pushing one way and the city, at least at this administration, is pushing another. Where do you stand on that, or have I even characterized it correctly?
I'm not certain that the city of Visalia is not in favor of the plan that the county is necessarily trying to put forth. I think what the city of Visalia doesn't want is for outlying pockets of development to be close and in proximity to our urban growth rings, where at some time in the near future we're going to be building out to those areas. That, in effect, is leapfrog development, and I don't think anybody in Visalia wants to see that happen. A prime example of where that is has happened for years and years is Fresno, and you can see that by allowing those projects to go near the community but outside of the community, it causes problems with the infrastructure, it causes problems with public safety. I don't think that it has any positive effects on the community.
Where do you stand on the issue of the auto mall?
The auto mall, quite frankly, is something that's in the industrial area. I don't believe that it's ever been within, and I know that it is not within what is designated the scenic corridor. I don't think that the auto industry should be in the downtown area. I would like to see Rosari not be there. I would like to see that particular area of town be utilized for a higher purpose. Frankly, there, I don't have a problem with where Ben Maddox has the developments, but there's coming a time when there's not going to be enough area for the auto dealers to provide their product. And so I believe that the past project, the auto mall, was a natural place to put it because it's close in proximity to the industrial area. And I think that it was significant or substantially set off from the actual roadway such that a nice green belt could be put around it so that it didn't become an eyesore to the community.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Victor Perez.
Would it be fair to say that you're in support then of the scenic corridor, but you feel that the auto mall being out at Highway 99 near the airport doesn't really impact negatively the concept of a scenic corridor?
That's exactly the way I feel about it. Quite frankly, the scenic corridor as it stands right now doesn't come close to what it was once was when we had majestic oaks literally lining the highway from one end to the other. That's when I knew I was home.
Yeah.
But since the widening of the highway, many of those oaks were taken out. It's my belief that we should have an appropriate setback that would incorporate green area, groves of trees, perhaps incorporating in the waterways. In fact, that's exactly the proposal that we put forward to the city council, and they adopted. The biggest problem, however, is how do you fund it? I don't know that the city of Visalia or the populace is ready or willing to take on an additional tax increment to pay the landowners, and nor do I believe that the landowners should be saddled with government encroaching upon their right to make a living on that particular land. I don't think that they should just walk in and say, this is what you will do with your land, and not be given adequate compensation. I think that's wrong, and I don't think that should ever occur.
Right. So what is the solution? Just wait until the economy is better, people are willing to pay? Or
no, frankly, I think that what we need to do now is start trying to plan the areas behind the scenic corridor so that we can take options out on the land at today's value. Start planning it with appropriate setbacks so that we can compensate the landowners and yet allow them to have a plan for the future on how they're going to use their land. At this point, part of the problem is that many of the farmers out there are in a position where development has started growing behind them, and so there's a dust mitigation issue, and there's an issue with respects to the use of pesticides and herbicides and whatnot, and it's not fair for the farmers or the landowners to be put in a position where they can't utilize their own lands and or make an appropriate profit off of their own lands.
Right. I know you're married. You've been married for quite a while, right?
Four children.
And four kids, mm-hmm. All of them raised here in Visalia?
Yes.
And do you want to talk a little bit about your wife? Let people know who you're married to.
Well, my wife Norma is a commissioner of the Superior Court and has been for a number of years, almost 10 years now.
She was a fine attorney before that.
Yes, she was. She was my partner, and she and I dedicated quite a number of hours to the community doing pro bono work. Now she's doing other things, but she continues to do a number of things throughout the state on statewide committees, and so her pro bono efforts continue to yield some real marvelous results for the judiciary in the area.
Are your kids all out of school now?
Yep, one left. The 15-year-old is at El Diamante, and she's very involved in sports over there. She plays golf, plays softball, plays soccer, involved in other community activities over there. She was in school politics last year. A lot of clubs that she's
following in her old man's footsteps, huh?
Yeah, maybe my wife as well.
Maybe so. Do you see that the city plays a role at all with regard to education also in the community?
There's no question.
How do you see that interface?
I think that, first of all, one of the real important areas where you're starting to see some interfacing is that the city, by way of the police department, is becoming involved with the Paisaida educational system to counsel against gang activities. I'm involved with a little project right now where we're going to try to get some mentors, actual former gang members, that we're going to try to get them to cooperate with the Paisaida Police Department program to get actual former gang members to counsel children at the elementary school level against gang involvement.
That's great.
So, you know, that's a real important area where the city and the Unified District have worked together.
Well, Victor, what else do you see for the future of Visalia?
As I mentioned earlier, I think there's three major areas, and the third area is resources. I think it's vitally important for the city of Visalia to maintain and marshal the waterways, allow recharging of the water table. We're taking up quite a bit of the water table with the growth, and it's very, very important that we look to recharging the water table as much as possible.
How can we do that?
Well, there's a lot of ways to do it. For instance, the ponding basins can be built in such a fashion as to be both an amenity in terms of a park setting when they're not recharging the water table, and also, as I said, being used to recharge the water table. Also, how many times have you gone down the street and seen water just going into the gutter?
Yeah, all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's ways to make the landscaping, to form the landscaping so that the water is puddling up on your own property, not drifting off into the gutters and being of no use to anybody in the community. And those are only small ways, but there's a number of other ways.
A lot of people are concerned that growth will result in that we've basically grown beyond our water and our air and everything else. So I think these are important issues to people.
Well, air is a real important issue, as a matter of fact, and I think that Visalia needs to remain on the cutting edge of technology in terms of being able to utilize that technology to eliminate, to the greatest extent possible, the emissions problem. Using compressed gas vehicles. We're doing that with some of the garbage trucks and some of the buses and whatnot. But I don't think that we've gone far enough yet. I think we should consider putting all the city vehicles on compressed gas.
Okay.
And I think that would significantly impact the air quality here.
Very good. Let me ask you this. You know, as a city council member, I suppose you'll be part of a team, so to speak, or at least a collection of individuals, some of whom feel different ways about different issues. Do you have a particular approach that you use, and perhaps you've used in either your career as a lawyer or that you've used on the Planning Commission, as far as how you handle building consensus or when to take a stand and not compromise? Or do you have any thoughts on how you would work with the others on the council?
I've been in this town for 24 years working on so many different committees, the Boys and Girls Club, the Visalia Educational Foundation, the Hispanic Roundtable. I've been dealing with groups of people for years, and I have no problem either in the workplace or on boards or on commissions. I have no problem being able to work with any type of individual. And I know that I wouldn't have a problem being able to compromise on important things where it was proper to compromise.
Well, Victor, thank you very much for taking the time. I know this is going to be very informative for our listeners, and good luck at the election.
Thank you.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Victor Perez. As a licensed broadcast station, KVLP is serious about the obligation to operate in the public interest and to afford reasonable opportunity for the discussion of conflicting views of issues of public importance. KVLP does not support or oppose any candidate. No money, service, or other valuable consideration has been directly or indirectly paid or promised to or charged or accepted by KVLP from any person or persons or corporation, committee, association, or other unincorporated group or other entity. KVLP is not required to permit the use of its facilities by any candidate and by policy does not grant such requests. Any rebroadcast of this unique news presentation is a violation of FCC regulations. Please email your comments to kvlp@radio.fm. Stay tuned to 101.5 for more candidate interviews throughout this election season. And remember, if you don't register, you can't vote.